study the third verse in Upadeshamrita. This afternoon, we'll look at the first three verses, and this evening, we'll look at the final three elements, I should say. First three elements of this third verse, and this evening, we'll look at the final three elements of it. Utsahan nishchaya dhyayat tat tat karma pravartanat sangha tyagat sato vritte sadhir bhakti prasidyati. There are six principles favorable to the execution of pure devotional service. One, being enthusiastic. Two, endeavoring with confidence. Three, being patient. Four, acting according to regulative principles such as Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnusmaranam, abandoning an association with non-devotees and following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. These six principles undoubtedly assure the complete success of pure devotional service. So these six items, with these instructions, Rupa Goswami is taking us a little further. Just like if you want to raise some nice fruits, the first thing you have to do is you have to go and you take all the weeds out of the ground. And then you want to plow the ground. And then after you plow the ground, you can put some fertilizer in. But even if you do all those things, you're not going to get any crops. You have to plant a seed. But still, those preliminary things are very important. So Rupa Goswami, these first few verses, he's cleared all the weeds from the forest of bhakti, forest that's hiding bhakti. And now he's showing us, with this verse, some fertilizer that we can put on the ground. And then after which we put some seed, and that seed will grow very nicely. So these six principles that are favorable to devotional service, we meditate on them, we can see, they're divided, Chopra Prabhupada divides basically into two different categories of attitude and behavior. We put this on the board. Thanks to Krishna Kund. So attitude includes utsahan, enthusiasm. Nishchayad, some endeavor with confidence. Indariyat, patience. These are three elements of a proper attitude. And there are three elements of proper behavior. Tat karma pravartanat, following the principles of, what is he saying? Of bhakti. Okay. And tat karma pravartanat, sangha tyagat, giving up the association of non-devotees, and sato vritte, following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. So those are three principles of behavior. About utsahan, Srila Prabhupada describes page 32 in Nectar of Instruction. He says that endeavor executed with intelligence and Krishna consciousness is called utsaha, or enthusiasm. So, it's an interesting statement. Not just because sometimes we see people who are very enthusiastic. Our revered spiritual master, after class, he used to stand up and devotees would bring him so many garlands, they would bury his head and he would take them off and put them next to him on the Vyasasan. And at the end of the lecture, he would stand up and he would throw those to the devotees. So there's one devotee who was particularly enthusiastic to get those garlands. He had so much Guru Bhakti. And he would always stand right up in front next to Guru Maharaj. And he would jump higher than anybody else and he would get those garlands. And he had so much Guru Bhakti. He was very good. Until one day, he jumped up so high and he grabbed the garland and then he fell down on top of his spiritual master. So, I think this is a purport of what Prabhupada says. Endeavor executed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness is called utsaha, or enthusiasm. Sometimes we see people who have lots of enthusiasm, but they're lacking in intelligence. So we don't consider that to be utsaha, proper. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his commentary, he describes utsaha. He says, utsaha na takile bhajane saitilya janme. He says that without enthusiasm, one will become negligent in his bhajan. If we don't have enthusiasm. This is something that's very, very important to cultivate. And he goes on, he says that jadya, jadya, odosin yava, niraveda hoite, saitilya utpanohoi, alasha o jaritake, jadya bole. Negligence is born out of inactivity, apathy, and indifference. Negligence in our bhajan is born out of inactivity, when we're not doing anything, apathy, a lack of interest, where we're lacking enthusiasm, and indifference. I don't really care anyway. Laziness and inertia are called inactivity. Utsaha janmile alasya o jarata takina. When utsaha is generated, then laziness and inertia can't remain. So this is an important quality. We have to be enthusiastic in our devotional service. And this is something we can understand. Even in the material world, Prabhupada writes in his purport, these principles, these six principles, are there for the success in any endeavor. If you're the manager of a big corporation and someone comes to you looking for a job and they're sitting down at the interview and they fall asleep during the interview, or they're telling you, yeah, I really like this job a lot. I'd really be good at it. Something like that, with some obvious apathy, with some lack of enthusiasm. Even though they may have a 4-page long resume with so much education and so many good qualifications, the employer is not going to care about that. Whereas someone else who comes in, they may only have a little qualification, a little education, but they're really enthusiastic and very energetic. But not foolish. We have some intelligence. And I guess this is the person for the job. So that's a mundane example. Krishna's also like that. If we're doing our nambhajan, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, how will Krishna pay attention to us? So we have to have some enthusiasm. That enthusiasm is a very, very important principle. In devotion, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his commentary on speaking about utsaha, he quotes the 6th chapter of the Gita, text 23. Tam vidya dukkha samyoga viyogam yoga sangitam sanischayena yukta vyoga yoga nirvina chetasa. He said, this is freedom from misery. Miseries that arise from material contact. He says that one should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith and not be deviated from the path. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this is enthusiasm. We should engage ourselves with determination and faith and not be deterred from the path. Baladeva Dibhushan, he comments on this. He says, Atmanya yogatva manana nirvedasta grahitena chetasa. It's a very interesting thing. How is it that we lack enthusiasm? What is the reason for that? Baladev says, one becomes indifferent to whatever work he feels unqualified for. That's an important thing. Now we may say, Prabhu, gosh, okay, goodbye. I'm going back to the West and I'm going to leave Vrindavan, I'm going to leave my japa bag here. I'm going to leave all these things because I'm not qualified for any of these things. But no, we shouldn't think like that. That qualification also comes by order, by instruction. If we do like that, if we give up the instructions of our spiritual master saying, well, what can I say, boy? I'm just really falling. I'm just being honest. I can't control my senses. I'm just a beast. I'm just honest and I stop chanting and things. I have no qualification for this thing. Then, that's a great offense to the holy name. What is that offense? Guru Avagya. It's described that Paramam Aparadam Gitanute, the greatest offense to the holy name is Sitam Ninda Namna Paramam Aparadam Gitanute, offense to a Vaishnava. But why is it that it's described that about Vaishnava Aparad? Why not Guru Avagya? Because Guru Avagya already includes Vaishnava Aparad. It means something more. Because your guru is a Vaishnava, so if you neglect his instructions, then you're committing some offense. Why does it say, Satam Ninda and Guru Avagya? Prabhupada, in his introduction to this subject matter, in his purport, he speaks about the importance of Sadhu Sangha, the importance of Guru. So this is a very important discussion if we talk about enthusiasm. And we don't want to commit any offense. So why does it say ninda, criticism? We shouldn't criticize the devotees, but Guru Avagya, we shouldn't neglect the instructions of our guru. Because Guru Mata, Guru Pita, Guru Hanapati. You might even, your father, sometimes you might criticize your father, isn't it? Sometimes, because it's a family relationship. But he's not going to reject you for that. But if you neglect his instructions, your father tells you to do something and you refuse to do that thing, then the father will kick you out from the house. Chalo, go. So, if we neglect the instructions of our spiritual master, so we shouldn't think we have no qualification. Lord Brahma, he also thought like that. But fortunately for us, he went ahead with the creation. Otherwise, we wouldn't be sitting here today having this discussion. Krishna told him, hey, Baba, I want you to get to work. Call your construction crew. Get out there and make the universe. So Lord Brahma, he offered so many prayers we find in the second canto of Bhagavatam. And he prayed to Krishna, I'm not qualified to do this. At the end of those prayers, then Krishna, he says that anyone who prays like Lord Brahma, they'll have everything, all their desires satisfied. Is that second canto or third canto? Remember? Second? Second, that's what I thought. So, we also have no qualification. That's part of your qualification, to realize you have no qualification. If we think we have qualification, it means you don't have qualification. Sishya Abhiman means that we should understand our position. And based on that understanding, we cry. And that crying, that's our qualification. Not our degree from the university, not how many verses we've learned, not how early we get up in the morning, isn't it? But our degree is our enthusiasm, our crying for Krishna. So, we become qualified by the order of Guru. You may be a lame person, you may be a blind person, but mukam krodi vachalam pangum lungayate gurumi kripata maham bande shri gurum dinatarne. If you may be a mum person, you can't speak, but by the mercy of Guru, you can give lectures, you can become a great orator. You may be a lame person, you can't walk, but by the mercy of the Guru, you can climb Mount Everest. Anything is possible on the order of Guru. So we should understand that. There's two types of bhajan. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes nishtita bhajana kriya and anishtita bhajana kriya. So this is the opposite of utsahan. Utsahan implies that we're nishta, that we're fixed. These three things are very interrelated. Utsahan, nishchaya, dharayat. Enthusiasm means that we're properly situated. And the opposite of that being properly fixed is astira, is we're wavering. Anishita bhajana kriya. Therefore, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he describes six different aspects of anishita bhajana kriya. And in his commentary on this verse, when he speaks about utsahan, Thakur Bhaktivinoda, he elaborates on these six things, these six principles. We want to come and do devotional service, but there's some things which keep us from being steady in our devotional service. So we should meditate on these things. The first one is utsahamai. Utsahamai. We should have utsahan. We should have some confidence. But in this case, Vishnu is saying there's another problem, which is false confidence. Someone's puffed up with enthusiasm. They think they're so qualified, and they want to run out and tell everybody else. And Vishwanath gives an example. He says that a Brahmin child who's just beginning his studies of Veda Vedanta, he thinks, yes, I'm a big, big pundit. All that he studied is a little vyakarana, a little grammar. He hasn't even studied any literature yet or anything, but he thinks he's a big, big scholar. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told a story about one such person who'd started learning Sanskrit. And have any of you here studied Sanskrit, especially the Westerners? So you may know, the Indians know, in Indian languages, including Sanskrit, there's a certain alphabet, ka ka ga ga na, cha cha ja ja na, like that. So this fellow, one fellow in the village, he had a whole village full of people who weren't educated at all. But there was one man who'd studied a little Sanskrit. He could read just a little bit, read a little Bengali. And everybody thought that he was a great scholar, a great pundit, because they're all fools. They don't know what a real scholar is. So one day, there was one Digvijay scholar who was very, very learned in all Veda Vedanta. And he came to that village, and he said, is there any scholars here? I'll debate with them. And the people said, yes, we have a very great scholar in our village. He's right over here. And everyone thought, yes, if we can defeat this big pundit, then our village will become very famous. So they went to this village man, and he became very nervous. He was always telling everybody that he's a big scholar, but all that he knows, he doesn't even know the whole alphabet. He just knows a few letters of the alphabet, that's all. So he said, certainly, I'll debate with him. He couldn't refuse. So they went there, and that big pundit came and sat down, and his village scholars kind of trembling. And the big pundit says, so, sir, you asked the first question. And he says, no, you're a visiting guest, you should ask the first question. No, you asked, and going back and forth, and finally he convinced the visiting scholar to ask. So the visiting scholar asked him, Kashtvam, who are you? So when he heard that, this village pundit, who really wasn't much of a pundit, he said, Kashtram, Gashtram, Kashtram, Kashtram, Gashtram, Gashtram. Just changing the word and having the next letter in the alphabet before it. And in the audience, they didn't know anything. They thought, oh, just see, he's really showing his panditya. He's really showing his scholarship. And meanwhile, this visiting pundit was looking at him. This fellow's a complete idiot. He's like, my God, I don't want to be seen here. If people know that I'm sitting here with these kind of people, everyone's going to laugh at me and things. So he just bowed his head and quickly got up and walked out. And then all the villagers said, yes, yes, our pundit, he's Digvijay, just see. Like that. So that's utsahamayi. Someone thinks they're a big, big scholar. They only know some little thing. So the second one is gana tarala, a thick and thin. Sporadic endeavor. The same child, sometimes he studies very, very hard. He's working very, very hard in Bhakti Shastri, like Bhakti Vinit, right? Working very, very hard. But then other times, eats some prasadam at night. It's too hard to get up, and I can't study very much. I don't want to study today. Does that happen? Something? Okay. That's Gana Tarala. Huh? Thick and thin. Mm-hmm. So Vishwanath says, it's because someone doesn't have a real taste for Shastra. Similarly, sometimes as devotees, we follow so many things, and other times we don't follow nicely. So the third principle Vishwanath speaks about is vyudhavikalpa, which means extensive speculation. In this stage, a devotee, he mentally goes back and forth between renunciation and household life. He's thinking, maybe I should get married. Gosh, I've seen so many devotees get married. Even some sannyasis got married. You know, maybe I should also get married. It'll be better. If I get married, it'll cause so much trouble. The wife's going to complain and want money and this thing and that thing. No, I won't do it. Then he sees some pretty girl. He thinks, well, maybe it wouldn't be so bad. No, no, no. And this way he goes back and forth. And because of that, he's not utsaha. He's not facts, and he's not enthusiastic, because his mind is always wavering back and forth. The fourth principle is vishaya sangha. Someone may give up bad association, and we'll speak more about this in a little bit, but they're still meditating about their home and family. They're still thinking about those things. And because of that, they're not fixed, they're not resolute, and they're bhajan. It makes them weak. The fifth principle is niyamakyama. Somebody thinks, every day I'll get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm very enthusiastic about it. But they can't maintain it. And this differs from utsaha mayi, in that utsaha mayi has some strength and starts, but niyamakyama has no strength whatsoever. And the sixth one is tarangarangani. Tarangarangani means riding the waves of sense gratification. The sadhak, he starts his bhajan in a nice way, but then he becomes captured. Patista rajabir bhadham kamadhyarvatma pati bihi chitvatu sangarantasta nagare pantumambataha Raghunathaska Swami, he describes in Brajvilastava, that becomes captured by labha puja patista, by desire for profit, adoration, and distinction. Someone was asking, what is patista? Sometimes we use these phrases. Patista means some position, some false pride. This person is better than the other ones because he's able to start his bhajan. But these anarthas, La Puja and Patista, when they come to him, he can't deny them. So he stops his bhajan, at least internally, and he goes through those three things. So in the presence of these six elements of anishita, bhajan and kriya, we can't be enthusiastic. We can't proceed properly with our bhajan. So the next thing Rupa Goswami describes is nishchayat, that we should be confident. And this confidence, this nishchayat, is defined differently by our different acharyas. Sometimes it's said to be confidence. Sometimes it's said to be firm faith. Sometimes it's said to be tolerance. Srila Prabhupada, on page 32 of his commentary on this, he describes how devotional service, surrender means that one has to be confident of Krishna's mercy. If we're not confident of Krishna's mercy, how can we go on? It's a very, very important thing. This is a mental thing. And this thing destroys us in our devotional service. We don't have confidence. We think, oh, because is another aspect of Niyamagraha. Because I'm not doing all these things perfectly, then we start getting an anxiety and we lose confidence. And Krishna says, Sangsayatma Vinashati. Someone who doesn't have faith, who doesn't have this confidence, Vinashati, he's destroyed. He can't do his bhajan because he's so much in anxiety. You have to become confident. Don't worry so much about these things. If a little child is there, you have a 6-month-old child, and the child is starting to learn to walk, and he's just barely standing up, and every time that child falls down, you start laughing at him. Just see, you can't walk, fool. Like that. What a cruel person. Will that child ever learn to walk? The child won't have any confidence. Yeah, the child may fall down and start crying. The parents should go to him and say, anyway, it's okay. Everybody falls down. You're just learning to walk. It's a natural thing. And what to speak of ourself? We were discussing on the way here this morning that a calf, even as soon as it's born, it comes out of the womb and immediately it'll start walking. But for us to start walking in terms of devotional service is not as easy as a newborn calf. Because we've spent so many millions and millions of births in this material world. It's not such an easy thing. So we need some confidence. If we have no confidence, how can we go on? So Prabhupada says that this confidence means surrender, means being confident of Krishna's mercy. That Krishna's there. Maybe I can't walk. The child, he may not have any confidence that he can walk, but he holds the hand of his father. And then he's very confident. Or sometimes a child, Prabhupada gives this analogy in some places, he may be worried that someone's going to come and beat him or something, or try to kidnap him. But when he's walking with his father, he's very proud. And he's not afraid of anyone. So we should be like that. This lack of confidence means that we're not meditating deeply on Krishna. We're not thinking about it. It means we don't really have faith. This confidence is a matter of faith. We don't have proper faith. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's written so many things about Shraddha, or faith. He describes in general, without going very deeply into this big subject, he says there's two types of faith. There's Laukik Shraddha and there's Paramarthik Shraddha. Laukik Shraddha means common faith. We see this in the story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his Brahmin servant Krishnadas. When they came here to Vrindavan, Krishnadas, he came to Mahaprabhu, he said, Mahaprabhu, my lord, he said, everybody's been going every night to see Krishna dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. Really, he's there. So many people are seeing him. Could you please give me permission also? I'd like to go as well. Mahaprabhu gave him a good slap. Idiot. Don't believe that. But we believe things. So many people say, such and such person, he's a good, honest man. Yes, everybody's voting for him. So I'll also vote for him. Or so many people say, such and such person's a Mahabhagavat. He's an elevated devotee. Well, everybody else is saying it. So it must be so. And so we stop thinking. That's Laukik Shraddha. We want to come to the second type of Shraddha, which is Paramarthik Shraddha, transcendental faith. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes this in his commentary on Shikshashtaka in the first verse. He says there's two types of Paramarthik Shraddha. Shastartha Vadarnamayi Shraddha and Bhagavat Lila Madhurja Lobamayi Shraddha. The first one, Shastartha Vadarnamayi Shraddha, is that faith which is born out of the Shastra. You're reading the Shastra, and the Shastra says something, so yes, it must be so. But that faith, because it's not practically realized, it's not practically experienced, you're not seeing anyone doing it, it's just theoretical. There's also some fear based on that, and some awe and some reverence, because you haven't seen anything practical about it. You have some faith that George Bush in America, he's the president, he's a big man, because you've read something about it. But there are certain people in Bush's family who are very intimate and friendly with him and go and slap him on the back and do this and that. You can't do that. because you just had some theoretical understanding. So better than that type of faith is Bhagavat Lila Madhurya Lobamayi Shraddha, which Bhaktivinoda says comes from hearing Hari Katha from an Uttama Adhikari, from a very exalted Vaishnava. And that, the first type of faith, Bhaktivinoda says, leads toward Vaidhi Bhakti. And the second type of faith leads toward Raghunuga Bhakti. The second one, although you're not seeing Krishna, but you're seeing someone who's really a devotee, who really has those qualities. And you become inspired, seeing their naturalness and their simplicity. Sometimes we can speak about Srila Prabhupada, and you can say Srila Prabhupada was a Shaktivesha avatar, and he smashed the scientists, and he went around the world about 14 times, and he wrote almost 100 books, and he opened over 108 temples, and initiated over 10,000 disciples, and he was the first person to go to the West. But he's also a person. And you speak, if you hear Govinda Dasi, one of Prabhupada's early disciples, if you read what she says about Srila Prabhupada, very, very sweet and very, very intimate. Very kind things. Once she baked a birthday cake for Srila Prabhupada and put a candle on it and lit it. She brought it to Prabhupada and started singing happy birthday. Prabhupada was very simple. He said, what is this? And she said, oh, Prabhupada, in our country, this is how we observe a person's birthday. That was the first Vyas Puja festival in ISKCON. And Prabhupada was just like a child. He's very simple. He said, oh, what do I do? He said, Prabhupada, you blow out the candle and you make a wish. So Prabhupada said, okay. So Prabhupada, he blew out the candle. And then Govinda Das, he says, oh, Prabhupada, what did you wish for? And Prabhupada became very grave. He said, I'm wishing that I can please Krishna. Like that. So Prabhupada's a person. If we hear from someone who is associated with him like that, then we can also appreciate him like that. If we associate someone similarly who actually has love for Krishna, then we can relate to that. Otherwise it becomes a theoretical thing. In any case, both of these two types of Paramarthika Shraddha, Shashartha Vidarna Mayi Shraddha, and Bhagavat Lila Madhurya Lobamayi Shraddha, Bhaktivinoda says both of which are nourished and maintained through association with devotees. He says if there's no association with devotees, then these two types of Shraddha, they dwindle. So this confidence, this is nourished in association with devotees. We can read so many things. Once there was one farmer who came to New Vrindavan. Some years ago we heard this story. And he was in this part of America, they have a very funny accent in their speech. And he came in and said, I've been wanting to meet y'all for so long. He said, you know, I've been chanting that Hare Krishna mantra for so long. For several years, he found some book, the Srila Prabhupada's. And he was chanting Hare Krishna, as Prabhupada said to do that. He said, but I don't understand how y'all do it. I want to chant 16 rounds, but it takes me 8 hours to do it. And the devotees, they couldn't understand. What, 8 hours? How is that? He'd seen, there was some movie years ago in America called Hare, and they were singing the Hare Krishna mantra. So he connected the two together. So he said the chanting meant you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, like this. So it was taking 8 hours to finish his rounds. So in such a situation, it's very difficult to be confident. How in the world can you chant Hare Krishna like this? My God, I have to take care of the fields, my crops, and do so much work and things. How can I chant 16 rounds? But in association with devotees, we can say, no, it's like this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. We can do it like that. So both of these types of faith is very important that we have association with devotees. Moreover, this confidence, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, it comes from contemplation also. We have to think. We can even think about it from different angles of vision. And even, in spite of what some people may have told you, it's even okay to ask controversial things. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes Siddhanta Bodhiya Nakoro Alas Iha Hoite Krishne Lagi Sudhiramanas. manas. He says that someone who's sincere, he won't neglect having discussions about things that seem to be controversial. Because these controversial subjects, they strengthen the mind. And then one's mind can become attached to Krishna. But if we always avoid these kind of subjects, if we keep these doubts hidden in our heart, then how will they ever be dissipated? And how will we ever have confidence? We'll always be in anxiety. We'll always be crying, oh, I don't know, am I doing the right thing? It's very, very important. This lack of confidence means that we're not rightly situated. We can see both within the Vanashram system and in the Daivi system, or the devotional system, it's very, very important to act according to our position. Within the system of Vanashram, if someone is rightly situated, then that person has some confidence. Everything is okay. I know I'm doing the right thing. If they're situated in the right ashram. But someone even may be, it may be a grihastha, but if they really want to be renounced, then they're always mental and they're suffering. Or they may be a brahmachari, always thinking about getting married. They can't be a proper brahmachari. They might even be a sannyasi and always thinking about that. Prabhupada speaks of that in the 8th canto of Bhagavatam. They won't have confidence because they're not situated in the proper position. Thakur Bhaktivinoda, in his commentary on Shikshashtaka, he says the first thing is Chaita Darpana Marjanam. The mirror becomes cleansed. And when the mirror starts becoming cleansed, the first thing that happens is you can start to see some fuzzy form in the mirror. There's so much dust there, you still can't see very much. The first thing is, he says, you can begin to understand your position in terms of Varna and Ashram. That's the first effect of chanting the holy name. And this next thing is, after some time, then we begin to understand what is my spiritual identity. That's a much later thing. So similarly, in the Daivi system, we have the instruction from our Gurudev, Acha Jira Mataji, Sei Matasar, that we should have confidence that what I'm doing is right based on my Gurudev. So my Gurudev, he's given me this service. So I can have faith that this is a proper thing to do. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's described Krishna Kripa Kori Vena Dura Kori Jane. That someone who's a fully surrendered devotee, Prabhupada says that full surrender means that you're confident of Krishna's mercy. Someone who's a fully surrendered devotee, his symptom is Jida Kori Jani. He always has this firm faith, this firm hope that Krishna, he'll be kind to me. Just like if you go to Nandagaon, how many of you have had darshan of the Seshwar Mahadev? So you know what asha means? You know, the Indian devotees, they know. And the Western devotees know what asha means? Hope. Yes. So he had some hope. And so he's residing there in a Seshvan, and he became famous as a Seshwar Mahadev because he's the Lord of Hope. And there's a raga, as they say, that he was singing. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Thank you. called a sabri rag. Picked a good time to go, Mataji. So, it means the great hope. We have to have some hope. If there's no hope in our spiritual life, how will we go on? How will we be able to execute devotional service? It's described that the Chankazi in Nabadweep, he became very surprised when he saw how all the local Hindus, how is it they have so much strength now and all the regulated principles? And he started asking some people, and they said, oh, that's because of Nimai Pandit. This son of Mother Sachi. He's there and he's giving everybody so much hope. So we should have hope like that in Krishna. Otherwise, how can we go on? Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sings a very, very soulful song, Gopinath. Sadakamarata. I'm always attracted to all kinds of sense enjoyment. Kichu nahi moraguna. I have no good qualities. But one thing is giving me some hope. There is some nishchayat. He says, Gopinath, amara barasa to me. He says, you're my only hope. I see that in myself, I have no good qualities. Kichu nahi moraguna. But in you, all my hope is there. Tomara charani loyinu sarana. I'm taking shelter of you. Tomara kinkora ami. I'm not thinking of myself as a sense enjoyer. Sometimes even devotees, they fall prey to this kind of trick of maya. Oh Prabhu, what can I do? I'm very fallen. They hang a little sign around their neck. I'm fallen. I'm a sense enjoyer. And they identify themselves like that. And then there's no hope. How can they go on? How can they do their bhajan? So Bhaktivinoda says, I have no hope. I have no good qualities. But You are my only hope. Taking shelter of you. You're the only identification I'm going to have is that I'm your servant. And in that is very wonderfully expressed the attitude of a devotee. Rupa Goswami writes a similar verse in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, very nice verse. Na prema shavanari bhaktir apiva yoga tava vaishnavo gyanam vasubha karma va kiyaroho sajjatir apyastiva hinartadika sadakitvai tatapya chidyamula sati he gopi janavalava vitayate ha ha madasayavama. Very, very beautiful verse. He says that he's praying to Gopinath. This is Bhaktivinoda is praying to Gopinath. Because Gopinath, he's our Ishtadev. We want Krishna with Radha and the gopis. So he's saying, hey Gopinath, I've been thinking about things. I've been thinking about my position. And my conclusion is like this, na prema. I have no prema. I know, Krishna, you're going to come and tell me bhakti mam abhijanati yavanyashtasmi tatvataha. If you have bhakti, you can... But Krishna, I have no bhakti. I have no prema. Natvai mamatila matri, the Bhagavashrami says in one psalm. He says, I don't even have a sesame seed of bhakti. Na shavanari. Shavanari means my sadhana. Bhaktivinoda thinks he's a great sadhana bhakta, right? But Rupa Goswami, he's praying, what is my sadhana? What am I doing? Sometimes I get up in the morning, sometimes I don't. Or even if I get up in the morning and I go there, what am I thinking about? Or even if I'm thinking about Krishna, I'm not crying to Krishna. There's no feeling. How great is my sadhana? Krishna therefore tells Uddhava, na sadhayati mam yoga. I'm not attained to sadhana. Don't think that if there's some kind of contract written in somewhere in the Akash Ganga or something, some spiritual place, you know, written down, if you go to X number of Mangal Artiks, then you'll get Krishna. There's no contract like that. Krishna never signed a paper that says like that. We should do that thing. We do that thing because it's bhakti. Because that's tat-tat kama bhavartana, sadovrite. That's falling in the footsteps of our previous acharyas. We'll speak more about that this evening. But we don't have that strength ourselves. Na prema shavanari, bhaktir, I have no bhakti. Abhiva yoga, I'm not a great yogi. Some people, the devotees, will stand on their head and they know how to do pranayama, this and that. But I don't even have a good qualification as a yogi. I can't control my senses. Tava Vaishnava. I'm not a Vaishnava. Don't try to say, you see my Kunti Mala? My Tilak? I'm a Vaishnava. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Amita Vaishnava, e buddhi hoile. We have to give this attitude up. If I think that I'm a Vaishnava, he says, then I'll definitely go to hell. I'll demand some respect from others. So he says, I have no prema, I have no sadhana, I have no bhakti, I have no yogic ability. I'm not a Vaishnava. Gyanam vasubha karmana. I have no gyan. Don't think that if you pass, if you get the best grade in bhakti shastri, then when you come out of the room, then suddenly Krishna will appear before you, standing with his flute, smiling at you. And Krishna will say, I'm very pleased with you. You got the best score in VHE, so I'm giving you my darshan. I don't mean to disappoint any of you, but it doesn't work like that. Gyanam vasubha karma va kiyato ho sasjyatirapyasti va. And what to speak? If I talk about my birth, that's very, very embarrassing. Not just for the Westerners, but even for the Indian bodied devotees too. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, you should read this book, Brahmano Vaishnava. He gives a whole description there. People sometimes are very proud of their Brahman Gotra. But you're coming from Gotama Gotra means you're born from a rabbit originally. Your dynasty started from a rabbit. Akoshika Muni means your dynasty began from some kusha grass. And in a way, there's been so many, and it's not that if somebody kept record perfectly, there's been so much contamination along the way. And what to speak of as poor Westerners. So, I have no good birth, but I only have one hope. I've heard. I have this hope. It's a chaja mula. It's a root that can't be cut. My hope is so strong. Because I've heard that you're hanartadika sadake twayi. To those sadaks, those persons who approach you, who consider themselves very, very fallen and have no good qualities, you bestow mercy on them. So in that mood, hey gopi janavalabhav yatayate ha ha madasaivamam. This is my asha. Ha ha madasaivamam. But this kind of hope at the same time, yatayate, it's giving me some pain. It's causing pain in my heart. Because I see I have no qualification. And Krishna, it's causing me pain. I have this faith, I have this hope, but still I'm not seeing you. So this is a mood of a devotee. Rupa Goswami is teaching us like this. This is nishchaya. We have to meditate on these things. Utsahan. Should be enthusiastic. Nishchaya. We have to be confident. We have to be tolerant. We have to have firm faith. And Dharyat, the third principle, Srila Prabhupada, on page 32, he says a successful execution of Krishna conscious activities requires both patience and confidence. Confidence may be there, but we also have to have some patience. That patience we can also translate as tolerance. In Sachinandana Gaurahari, he's described to us about this in his Shikshashtika prayers. He says, Trinadapi Samuchena, Toroeva Sahishtana, Amanina Manadena, Kirtanaya Sadahari. We should be so patient, so tolerant, just like a tree. And some people are coming and carving their initials in, and some young couple are coming by, oh, this is our time, and they go with a big buck knife and they scratch this thing in the tree. It doesn't feel very good to the tree. But the tree doesn't complain. He just tolerates it. And in Vrindavan, when it's so very, very hot, we can't tolerate. Oh, it's too much. I can't stand this anymore. I need some AC. But the trees, they're tolerating that. They're tolerating the cold. Also in Vrindavan, very, very cold. So our patience should be like that. In Thakur Bhakti Vinod, in his commentary on Shikshashtika, he describes what that quality of tolerance is. Mityabhimana sunyata. How is it that the tree can be so tolerant? Because he's mityabhimana sunyata. He doesn't have any abhiman sunyata. He's not going to tell him, hey, what are you doing? Don't you know? I've been here for a long time. I'm older than you. Stop that right now. Well, he may be so old, but he has no abhiman. So that ability to tolerate comes when we give up that false ego, that false abhiman, thinking that I'm a big person. And it's very, very important in the execution of devotional service. We have to be tolerant. Otherwise, how will we get Krishna? We think, what is this? I just joined the Hare Krishna movement. It's been 45 minutes now. I've been chanting Hare Krishna and I still haven't seen Krishna yet. Something's wrong with this mantra. It doesn't work. And devotees think like that. Thakur Bhakti Vinod, he says that if we want to be patient, we have to understand some of the obstacles in bhakti. We have to understand our position in bhakti. We have to be introspective. We may have read, oh, it's very good if you can chant 3 lakhs of names a day, almost over 180 rounds. But can you do it? It's a very nice thing if you can only sleep for 2 or 3 hours a day and take bath 3 times in the Jamuna. And you can go to Mangal Artik and you can hear Bhagavatam class and you can recite the whole Gita every day. And it's a very nice thing. But we don't have adhikar to do it. It's a very big subject. Therefore, we'll touch on something that's a little controversial in my mind. Not controversial, but a little surprising. Right? Sanatana Goswami, I have somewhere in my notes, it's not right by my hand. He says in Hari Bhakti Vilas that we shouldn't chant, in terms of our japa, we shouldn't chant too few rounds a day. And he says we shouldn't chant too many. Why did he raise his head? What? That's what he also said when we heard that. What? But Mahaprabhu says kirtaniya sadahari. We should always do kirtan. What does it mean? That we shouldn't chant too much. It must be some mistake. We should rub that out from Hari Bhakti Vilas. Some mistake was there. No. There's two types of nam bhajan. There's sankhya nam and asankhya nam. Asankhya nam is kirtan. Or nam, when we're walking around, we may be chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, like this, with no beads. That's asankhya nam. And for that, there's no rules and regulations. Mahaprabhu said. But for sankhya nam, for japa, there's certain rules and regulations. We take a vow before our Gurudev that we'll chant a certain number of rounds. And he's very happy if we chant more. Prabhupada wanted us to chant more. But it's not a whimsical thing like Ganatarala, that one day I chant 32 rounds of my beads. I'm almost a Mahabhagavat now. A couple more days I'll be there. And then the next day it's 16, a few more days it's 16, and the next day, oh, I can't get up, it's too hard. I don't chant, maybe I chant 8 rounds that day, or no rounds that day. That's Ganatarala. So we should be steady. So sankhya nam means that we're fixed in whatever we chant. And we may chant more. That's very good. But then we should always chant more. If we're going to do that, then we should always make that. Or maybe I'll chant more on Ekadasi. Then every Ekadasi I should do. Or maybe this one Ekadasi. I'm making a vow. This one Ekadasi I'll chant 32 rounds, 64 rounds, whatever. And I should do that. Or this one day, Janmashtami, this one particular Janmashtami I'll do. We should do that. We should be fixed in that way. If we're not fixed in that way, if we don't have that fixed conviction, we can't progress properly. And we'll become discouraged. So it requires some patience, some tolerance in devotional service. Our revered spiritual master used to tell a story in this regard, interesting story, about Suparnaka. What was Suparnaka's fault? What did she do wrong? What's that?
She was too ugly and too beautiful.
She's too ugly. Okay, that's very discouraging. Thanks. So she couldn't get Lord Ramachandra because she was too ugly. So is there hope for me then? Don't answer that. Okay, so... No. She, what was her fault? She wanted Lord Ramachandra. She wanted, she had some amorous desire for Lord Ramachandra. Is that bad? Is that a bad thing? Are we not supposed to love the Lord? We're not supposed to be attracted to Him? Okay, it was a little bit lusty and physical, but much better she's attracted to Lord Ramachandra than Indra or Vayu or some so-called exalted personality, some demigod or something. She's attracted to the Supreme Lord. It's a very good thing. And Krishna promises in the Gita, what does He say when someone approaches me? Yayatam mam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyaham. Krishna always reciprocates accordingly. So, I guess it doesn't apply to Suparnaka, huh? Does it apply to Suparnaka? There's two considerations. There's aparavichar and tattvavichar. Spiritual masters who speak about this. The apparent consideration and the absolute consideration. According to the apparent consideration, no. Krishna broke his promise. Because he didn't reciprocate with Suparnaka. She came with this desire. And what did he do? How did he reciprocate with her? What did he tell Lakshman? Hey, cut off her nose and her ears. She's a young woman. She comes. Is she supposed to be condemned by being attracted to Lord Ramachandra? Is there anyone who can resist being attracted to Lord Ramachandra? Even the sages. In the Dandak forest, when they saw Lord Ramachandra, they were also attracted to him. So is that so bad that Suparnaka had that desire? And how did he reciprocate with her? Cut off her ears, cut off her nose. What a horrible thing. It's not fair. Is that fair? No? Prabhuji says it's not fair. But of course it's fair. Krishna's always fair. Krishna's always kind.
But from the external point of view.
Yes, from the external point of view, it's not. But what happened to Suparnaka? She had her ears and her nose cut off. And then after that, was she very good looking? Would you like to marry a woman with no nose and no ears? It'd be very easy to stay brahmachari then. You won't have any problems. And when you look at her in the mirror, when you see her like that. So no one wanted to marry her. Huh? Will anyone marry a woman who has no mataji? Will anyone marry a woman who has no nose, no ears? Huh? A very horrible thing. Everybody will run away crying. So Suparnaka suffered. But what was she thinking about while she was suffering? She was thinking about Lord Ram. She was crying in her heart. And for thousands and thousands of years, it is straight to yuga, Suparnaka thought about Lord Ram, and she cried and cried and prayed in her heart. And then in her next life, she took birth in Dwarpar Yuga as a woman with a funny thing on her back. Kubja. So, like that, we should be patient in Krishna consciousness. It may take us so long. Don't think it's such a cheap thing to get Krishna. The Kubja just did a couple of austerities and Krishna appeared before her. Oh, she suffered so long. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in Chaitanya Bhagavad, he tells Mukunda, he says, you know, this washerman, this dhobi, he got my darshan. But Krishna gave him a good karate chop. Cut off his head, Kamsa's washerman. Mahaprabhu said, how did he get the punya to see me? Because for thousands and thousands of lifetimes he did austerities to see me. So we have to be patient. The problem was in his case, that it wasn't done for the purpose of bhakti. He wanted to see the Lord, but he didn't have a desire to worship the Lord. So Mahaprabhu explained to Mukunda that even though that he got to see me, still, what was the value of that? But still, the point is there. That we should be prepared to wait so long. Nanda and Yashoda in their previous life, they waited, they did austerities for tens of thousands of years. As Drona and Dharan? Drona and Dharan. They did austerities for tens of thousands of years. And finally the Lord appeared before them. What would you like? Oh, we just want you as our son. So we should be so patient. And why not? What else do we have to do? Is there some movie that's better in Krishna consciousness? Is there some other activity? Kevala Ananda Kanda. In the meantime, we can all be happy and chant and dance and go on. And just wait for that day when Krishna gives us his mercy. Janmani Janmani Shri. We don't even care. Maybe it's life after life. Janmani Janmani Prabhu say. But I just pray for this thing. I'm so patient. I want this. I want Krishna praying. I don't want anything less than that. I'll be so patient. I'm going to wait. Because I'm able to wait. I'm able to tolerate because I have firm faith in Krishna. That Krishna will definitely be kind to me. Utsahan, nishchaya, dharya. So we'll stop there. Are there any comments or questions from anybody? Corrections? Nadi Shodamayi? Do you have anything you want to say? We're very fortunate. Mataji's had some very good association, and she's been doing bhajan for a long time in Vrindavan. I get some inspiration from her. Prabhuji, you want to say something?
Prabhuji, you said about the faith, importance of faith. How do we gain that?
That faith comes, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, through association. We can associate through books, and we get some kind of faith in that way. Or we can associate through devotees. And how do we get that association with devotees? It's described that bhakti.
Bhakti and
Satsangi Prapite Pumbi Sukhitai Purvisanchitai. In Nardiya Purana it said that Bhakti Stu Bhagavad Bhakta Sangena Parijayate. That association with bhaktas, with devotees, gives us bhakti. And how do we get that association with devotees? Satsangi Prapite Pumbi Sukhitai Purvisanchitai. Some previous Sukriti we've done. So these two things, again, are in cause and effect. Sadhu Sangha Krishna Nam E Matra Chai. Sadhu Sangha and Krishna Nam. The Sadhu gives us Krishna Nam, and Krishna Nam will give us the Sadhu. So, but there's a difference though between our chanting after initiation and our chanting before initiation. Nama Shrestham Manam Api Sachiputram Atra Swarupam. Raghunandas Goswami says Nama Shrestham. Why doesn't it say Kabala Nam? Kaman Nam. Jiva Goswami, in one commentary in 6th Canto of Bhagavatam, he says there's two types of chanting. One is Kabala Nam, and the other is Sneha Samyukta, chanting with love and affection. And that chanting comes when we are accepted by someone. So we get association with that person through that so-called Kabala Nam. Nam's never Kabala, it's never common. But so-called Kabala Nam, we get association with sadhus. That thing will come. And then through association with sadhus, we get faith. And then from that faith, what happens? We get more sadhu sangha. Because of those shraddha-tata sadhu sangha. We see some people, they say, yes, yes, I have faith. What do you have faith in? Well, I have faith in Srila Prabhupada. I have faith in Prabhupada's books. I have faith in Krishna Nam. But I have no faith in any devotees. All the devotees are bogus. They're all bogus fellows. So then what kind of faith does he have? Well, how much faith does he have in Krishna and Prabhupada? He thinks that Prabhupada is a eunuch. Prabhupada can't give birth to at least one child. There's no follower of Srila Prabhupada who could do that. That Krishna is broke. Krishna had at least one pure devotee, Prabhupada. But then after Prabhupada, Krishna was looking in his pocket. And he didn't have any more pure devotees to send. Sorry about that. He just missed out. In other words, a Krishna is not real. That's the philosophy of Hiranyakashipu. What was Hiranyakashipu's attitude? Prahlad was coming to him and saying, hey dad, this is really far out. You should chant Hare Krishna and Krishna's God. Where is your Krishna? Where is your God? Oh father, he's everywhere. Ha! Is he in this pillar? He didn't believe that. Prahlad said, yes, he's in the pillar. Hiranyakashipu said, ah, we'll see. Took up his sword, and he got a big surprise. So he didn't believe that Krishna was everywhere. And Krishna showed him, actually, he was. So similarly, some people, they don't have faith in Krishna. If you don't have faith as any pure devotees, it means you don't have faith in Krishna. Because the pure devotees are coming from Krishna. It means you don't have faith in Srila Prabhupada. What are you doing? You're going to kirtan every day, you're jumping up and down. Prema bhakti yaho iti abhijavanasa yati. But how is that prema going to come? It'll come to a devotee. And if you please Srila Prabhupada, he'll send you that. He has the potency to do that. He's not a eunuch. He's not a klaibya. He has ability to do that thing, to give that thing. We should have faith in that. We should depend on him. And if we get that kind of association, then we'll get very strong faith. So it's very important, this association. We associate with non-devotees. We associate worse with dharmadvajis, or kapatis, cheating devotees. Then our faith will become destroyed. Is that okay? Anything else, is it, Mataji?
The description of anishtita
Madhurya Kadambini, next book. Anything else is there? Well, we did all... What did you?
You were saying how sometimes devotees fall prey to identifying themselves as fallen.
They identify with their desires, with their bodily material desires. And they think, I love chocolate. I just can't live without chocolate. That's me. I'm just a chocolate fiend. That's how they identify themselves. Or in worse ways, there's other worse ways they can identify themselves. I'm just fallen. I just can't live without television, without sex life, without this thing or that thing. And they how can I? I just can't. That's me. I just can't control it. They're identifying with that. We have to stop that identification. And that's why when we come to Guru, we should come to Guru with a clean slate. Not that we come to Guru and say, oh, Gurudev, you're very fortunate, Maharaj, if you can get me as a disciple, you know, because I had the highest score in Bhakti Shastri, and I've lived in Vrindavan for 10 years, and I chant 32 rounds a day, so if you get me as a disciple, you'll be very lucky. We don't go to Guru like that. We come to Guru and we say, Ke Ami, who am I? I'm a murkha, I'm a fool, I don't even know who I am. That means that we're not coming with any baggage. We're not coming with any upadis. We're coming and saying, I really don't know who I am. My senses want to tell me this. My friends want to tell me something else. My parents tell me something different. But I don't really know who I am. And I need you to please explain to me really who I am. Is that okay? It's a very, very important point. It's a subtle trick of Maya that we fall prey to. Yes. Yes, he's identifying like that, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that Tomara Kinkora Ami, I'm your servant. And he's praying in there that you give me sasan, you give me some chastisement, I'm ready to accept that thing. Even my mind is pago, Gopinath, I can't control my mind. But you're Rishikesh, and you can control me. So he's surrendering. That's saranagati. Not that saranagati doesn't mean that now I'm going to control my senses. Like this. Kasayana chabo janadiniyamanovava nivasato vyakyanadattava munibrata barachchittova vakiyate kintu spitta Kalinda Tirishu Vikridato Govindasya Padaravinda Bhajana Rambasya Lisadapi. We're not trying to pick on brahmacharis, don't mind me. Kasayan means saffron cloth. Rupa Goswami has written this verse. He describes how we can defeat Cupid. The first thing he says is Kasayan not by wearing saffron cloth. You have to go. There's a big worldwide, Federation wrestling tournament. And one side of the tournament, we have Krishnadas Brahmachari. And the other side, we have Cupid. And they're going there for the big fight. So the Brahmachari says, yes, yes, I'm ready for the fight. No problem. I've got my saffron cloth on. And he jumps into the arena, and Cupid just starts giggling. He's not at all afraid of that. Kasaya Natcha Bojanadi. And he's all... I'm going to control my senses. I'm not going to eat MDT. I'm not going to eat any sweets, no sampapri, no this thing, no ice cream, none of these things here. I'll control my senses. And Cupid just smiles and laughs. Bhojanadi. Novavanivasati. Then I'll go to the forest. I won't see any girls. There's no girls in the forest. I'll go there. Cupid just starts laughing. Vyakyanad. Then I'll study all the Shastra. I'll memorize the whole Bhagavad Gita. I'll go to Bhakti Shastri. I'll just put my head in. Then I'll defeat Cupid. Chitto Bhava Kiyate. One of the names of Cupid is Chitto Bhava, because he's causing this bhava in the chitta, or heart. He says, by these things, Vibha Goswami says he's not weakened in the least bit. Kintu, but. Kintu. He says that just by the slightest bit, this is the very beginning of devotional service to Krishna, who's standing on the bank of the Jamuna, playing his flute. Then Kipa becomes very easily defeated. So we can't defeat these urges on our own. On our own, we're going to identify with this thing. We're going to think this is me. So we have to surrender to Krishna. If we think, oh, I'm going to defeat it, I'm going to control my senses by saffron cloth or by not eating this thing or reading, or this, none of those things are going to work. Only bhakti is going to work. Only if we surrender to Krishna and take shelter of Him. Then He's Rishikesh. He'll control our senses. Is that okay? That's a very good question. A big subject. Okay? So we're doing pretty good today. We stopped before 4:15. So everybody can go for lunch prasad. Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada ki jai. Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Upadeshamrita ki jai. Samabeda Bhaktivinda ki jai. Gop Premanandi. Jai Ho. Sancha Baba Dhirvish Chakra Dasandha Dhirva Chakra. Wow, thank you. That's extended.